If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the 12th chapter of Matthew. Chapter 12 of Matthew, and reading those three or four paragraphs beginning with verse 38. Matthew 12, 38. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean, and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. This is how it will be with this wicked generation." Father, we would focus our attention on your word. We would invite the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. We ask not, Lord, for what we want tonight or ask for what we think we need. But we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us of our own particular needs tonight, where we are, where you would have us to be. Challenge us, we pray, by your Spirit with your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage, a seeming innocent request or question, "We'd like to see another miracle, please," brings a tremendously sharp, even a harsh reply. Jesus turns to these people as though they had said, "Show us another trick, God. Jump through a hoop for us. Do something. Prove to us that you're really what you say you are." And Jesus seems to say, or he says clearly, implies, to seek a sign in the face of the manifest truth of God is a sign of a wicked heart of unbelief. This is not to say that Jesus is not patient with doubts. Particularly the college years are times of real doubt, of thrashing through the heavy questions, the hard questions. And God is tremendously patient with people who come up against these mysteries of the faith for the first time or begin to truly wrestle through them. I love Thomas because I'm so much like him, or I've been so much like him, when he said, "I will not believe unless I can see him, unless I can put my hands on him, unless I can touch him." And you know what Jesus said to Thomas? He said, "Here I am." He was patient, willing to convince an honest doubt. But it's not the same here. Jesus is tremendously wrathful with people who put off decision when they really don't need to study anymore, don't need to think anymore. They clearly know what's going on. They know what God's will is. And it's a tremendously dangerous thing to say to God when you know what God's will is and when you're clear in the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a dangerous thing to say to him, "Show me one more miracle. Explain this one more time to me, will you please?" Jesus says two things regarding being convinced. First of all, he says, don't seek a miracle to reinforce the miracle of the incarnation. Once you're convinced that God has spoken in Christ, once you are convinced that Jesus really has come in the flesh, that He's died for you, don't ask for a miracle to back that up. He says the people of Nineveh are going to rise up and judge you. He was talking to the people there. Think of Nineveh. Jonah coming up out of the sea with seaweed in his hair. And these people, these pagans, after he walked through with really a bad spirit, a bad attitude, he was saying, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And this pagan king and these pagan people repented. And there was a tremendous revival on the word of this man who seemed so strange. Jesus said there's a parallel there. He said these people of Nineveh are going to condemn you, scribes and Pharisees. For as we think of the people to whom Jesus was talking, they had the genuine revelation of the Old Testament Scripture. They should have been looking for Messiah. And here was the Son of God in their midst, witnessing to honest hearts. He predicted His death would be the sign of signs. And He rebuked them for their unbelief. I think of the world today, and I think of us here this evening. We have the fullness of revelation. I know we ask the question, what of those that have never heard? And I don't know the answer. What about those that have never heard? But there's none of us here tonight that can say we've never heard. We have knowledge of the fact that Jesus Christ came and that He died and that He rose again. And we have the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit that time and time again has witnessed to our hearts what we ought to do and where we ought to be. And yet so often we're impressed by secondary miracles. Father McDonough is going to be in a prayer service tomorrow night. And I don't knock Father McDonough. Thank God for the way God is moving in the charismatic Catholics. But basically, that's to speak to those that are completely outside of the realm of faith, that don't know anything about God. And God is using people like that, perhaps, to bring them and attract them. But you and I ought not to be so impressed by secondary miracles. Those things would happen if revival would come. We hold Jesus off from total commitment, saying, oh, if we could just have those kind of miracles. Oh, if we could only see some more of those things happen. Listen, God has spoken, and we don't need any other sign than the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jesus died. He died for you. The Holy Spirit has witnessed to that in your heart, and you know it. So Jesus said, if we want more than that to be convinced of what we ought to do, we are wicked and adulterous. Strong words. He said two things, though, not just don't seek a miracle. Jesus also said, don't seek more convincing arguments when God has made His will clear to you. He said, the Queen of the South is going to judge you people. You think you're so wise. No doubt they were. They were the learned doctors. And yet Jesus is saying, I'm greater than Solomon. Think of the Queen of Sheba. You know that story, don't you? Don't you read your Old Testament? Oh, you ought to. It's interesting. But she made that long pilgrimage. I'm sure she didn't go by elephant, but she came somehow from down there in Africa, made her way up to that splendor of Solomon's court. She made a pilgrimage for truth. She said, I've heard there's a man that knows just about everything. I want to know what he knows. I want to hear him speak, and I want to see how he worships. I want to learn how to be wise like he is. And she was so impressed that she said as she left, the half was never told to me. Then I think of the privilege of those who heard Jesus speaking that day. Open hearts and open minds had come to hear Jesus and had gone away saying, this is truth. I think of how the authorities at the temple sent guards to arrest Jesus. And after a long time, they came back empty-handed, and they said, "Why didn't you arrest him?" And they said, "Nobody ever spoke like that man." And going deliberately to do harm to Jesus, they came away convinced that here was wisdom, here was truth. And yet these scribes and Pharisees said, "Reason with us some more. Convince us some more." I think of us today, of us here tonight, we make intellectual problems many times out of a moral unwillingness to follow the simple Nazarene. We set up straw men and we say, "I can't go by the standards," or "I can't do this," or "I can't do that," when really we have been convinced this is the way I must go. And the heart of the matter is Jesus true? Is he right or isn't he? So Jesus said, don't seek miracles to back up the miracle of the fact I've come. Don't seek more wisdom when God has made his will clear to you. And then Jesus closes his warning with this interesting paragraph. I think sometimes we try to read more into it than's there. But what he's saying is it's very dangerous for religious people to run along on empty. It's dangerous spiritually to be merely religious, having the form, making the profession, living an outwardly faultless, even noble life. It's not enough. Jesus uses two strong words here. He says it's wicked. Not wicked to beat your wife and wicked to rob banks. He says it's wicked to know and not to do. It's wicked to say to God, "Show me some more," when we already know which way God wants us to go. It's wicked to say to God, "If only you'd show some more power, some more miracles over there, then maybe I'd give my heart to the Lord." Jesus said that's wicked. Jesus also uses the word adulteress. Somehow we see here the love of God. And God has a right to our total allegiance. God has first claim upon us. And flirting with other ways, once we know the truth, is nothing less than unfaithfulness to Almighty God. There's a time to search for truth. There's a time to stand in awe of the power and miracles of God. There's also a time for no longer seeking signs of confirmation. There's a time to stop making decisions, a time to acknowledge the truth we've received, and to begin acting upon what we know is true. We have to let God have his way in our hearts. And it's dangerous to be empty spiritually, because Jesus says we won't stay empty long. I don't know the condition of your heart this evening, but I do know that our relationship with God has to be a dynamic, growing, exciting thing. We can't get by on yesterday's blessing. And it's dangerous to be empty spiritually. I'm not speaking to empty feelings emotionally. I'm not speaking to being down. I'm speaking to the business of knowing more than we put into practice. I'm speaking to the business of hanging back when we know what God wants us to do. I pray that these words of harsh warning to these Pharisees and teachers of the law will strike a note of concern in our own hearts tonight, that we won't be empty houses, unoccupied, swept clean, good people, put in order, disciplined lives. But lives that aren't filled with the Holy Spirit. Lives that aren't just in the center of God's will. It's a dangerous thing to run on empty spiritually. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for the miracle that Jesus has come in the flesh, that he loved us enough to die for us, that He rose in victory over sin and death and hell. We thank You for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth until we know the next step we need to take. Save us from being a wicked and an adulterous generation, O God. But help us to walk in the light that we have and do what God would have us to be. Save us from being empty, in Jesus' name.